going to sing a special, so I'd clear the rest of you out if I did, so we'll do that. It is a blessing to be here with you once again this night, and we do give this church thanks for the blessing that you always are to us, and it's been a blessing to be up here the last two times that we've been up here especially, and we thank you for that. I said in prayer, Ben, and I'll say again, it was a blessing to pull into church. This is just an extra couple 2 cents. Take it for what it's worth. But to pull into church and see a snowplow pushing the snow back, you know, and cleaning the parking lot up. And why that's a big deal, a lot of times, you know, you go up and, not being judgmental, not trying to be, but you go to churches and grass is 16 inches high and place looks like a dump. None of us will let our houses get like that. But sometimes the Lord's churches get that way. It's a shame. But it's a blessing to see that this church takes pride and looks, uses common sense and has that much care. Instead of just saying, oh, well, it's going to snow. And then to see many of you that are out, and some of you aren't youthful. And so, you know, that's a blessing. I hope you don't take offense, but you know what I mean. That's a blessing. It'd be easy to say, well, there's snow out there. I always say that I have certain hobbies, and everyone here has their certain hobbies. And if my hobby isn't 5 hours away, and if there was this much snow on the ground, I'd probably be there. Because we'll do what we like to do. Of course, we use common sense. I'd like to share with you tonight a message that, and part of the message goes along with one of the songs that we sing. And it says, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him more. It was last New Year's Eve, we had just or close to the end of the year, beginning of the year, the beginning of 2014, and at church we were sitting around in the fellowship hall, and informally the pastor was asking different people questions, and the question I got was, had the kids passing us out little things, and the question I got was, one of them was, what do you hope to do more of this year? And it was just, I'd like to be able to trust the Lord more. And that was last year. And that proved to be something that the Lord tried me on. Things came up that I had to trust Him more. And I didn't always have the faith that I would have liked to have had. But God blessed. And God continues to bless. And I want us to consider tonight, over in 2 Peter chapter 3, I also, again, want to take this time to say another blessing that refreshes me. You know, I've been with the Gunnels today, and the blessing they have been, and their boys, and just the blessing that they have been, and just, you know, you listen to things, and sometimes you go and you preach places, and sometimes little innuendos pop up, little negative shenai comments, not towards me, but towards the pastor because he's gone. And it's been a blessing to not hear one negative comment from many of Home Baptist Church. That's truly a blessing. And that is a good testimony, the love that you have for your pastor, and I think that's a very great thing, and we thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for your pastor and his wife, and do pray that God will continue to bless you guys here as a church and the love that you have. I want us to notice 2 Peter chapter 3. Ye therefore, verse 17, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, well, know what things? You read the chapter, it talks about in the last days, the scoffers that are going to come and all the negative things. And then you also see how that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, and the elements and everything that's going to happen if you read this chapter. And then you see in verse 16 about the unlearned and those that are unstable rest unto their own destruction. And it says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Is it possible for you and I as God's people to be led away with the error of the wicked? And the answer to that is yes. The Bible tells us that evil communications corrupt good manners. It is very possible. Now, we don't lose our salvation, but we can be led away. And as I was reading this, I noticed that it talks about how that we are to beware, we're to be vigilant, lest we be led away with the error of the wicked and fall from our own steadfastness. And then it gives us the contrast to that. And it says, instead of being led away, instead of going in a negative way in your salvation and in your faith, instead of doing those things, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. These four words, and I may have even touched on this up here before, I couldn't tell you, but as I was studying for this, something that's been upon my heart for some time as well is the thought of the graces that are found in the saints' lives. You know, there are graces. I look at, and again, I don't just say this because this gentleman just passed away, but I say this concerning Brother Bourne and the man that he was and the graces that I've seen in his life. And I say, without exaggeration, I don't think I can ever recall a time when he spoke ill about anybody. He didn't always agree with what they did, but he had some graces, and he had been saved a long time, and he had grown a lot in the Lord. And as he's been upon my heart, been upon my mind, and not just him, but other people, especially people that have been saved for a long time. And you see them go through great difficulties, and they're different types of difficulties. But you see where you look back, and you stand back and you watch, and you say, wow, that didn't destroy them, but they're still serving the Lord. And I stand back and question and say, well, what is it? What is it that allowed them to get through that? It wasn't their strength. It was the grace of God, and it was the graces. And there are some graces that there's many graces that we need to grow in. But I just want to mention four tonight that you and I need to grow in, and that we need to apply ourselves to these things. And I'll take these out of order because I want to go with the song that we sung. But the first one I believe that we need to grow in is faith. We need to not be one that immediately, and I know it's easy to say, but we need to have confidence in our God. That is a grace. And as I think of Brother Bourne and he shared with me in times of, you know, just talking to him, difficulties in his earlier years, suffering from polio and just many things and many difficulties. And him sharing the testimonies of trusting God, and God delivering him from things and bringing him through things, that was graces that he exercised, stepping out by faith. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say. If we're going to grow in the grace of faith, we have to step out on faith. I mean, and as I think about those things, I think about if we all go back in our lives and we looked at times when we have trust the Lord, we've had to trust the Lord. We've had to step out and totally depend upon the Lord and say, we don't know what the outcome of this is going to be. But we step out and we trust the Lord, and we look back and we can see in hindsight, God knew about it all along. It was God's plan all along. And we look back and see how that God worked that out. That ought to strengthen us and bolster our faith that much more. And I think that's how we can grow as far as faith. One of my favorite passages of scripture on this is found in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And I guess one way of putting it is, as I've gotten a little bit older, the Lord has revealed to me, and not just older in age, but older in the Lord has revealed to me more that our faith, and whether it's faith or other things that we'll see, or things that you may think about, they don't have to plateau. A lot of times I think that in our Christian life, wherever we find ourselves for a while, we say, well, let's just stay here. It doesn't have to be that way. We can have even more faith if we exercise that and we trust God more and we put more confidence in God. We see over again, I believe in the book of Psalms and even the teachings I believe is found in the book of Proverbs, that it is better to put confidence in God than in man. We need to trust the Lord, whatever it is. And you never know what we're going to be faced with, but we need to trust the Lord. And I know it's easier said than done, but by His grace, we need to do that. Just want you to notice Moses and what he says unto the people in Exodus 14:13. Came across this when I was first saved, and it's always been in my mind. As the children of Israel are beginning to complain, and they're fearful, and we should have just stayed in Egypt, and you know, why'd you bring us out here type of thing. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And this may sound very elementary to many people, but I think we need to understand the word salvation here. We should always, anytime in the Word of God we see the word salvation, we need to be very specific of what it's talking about. It will help us. Again, I know it's elementary, but see God's physical deliverance. God still today physically delivers you and I from many things. Sometimes He delivers us from many things that we didn't have a clue was there, or have a clue that was going to be there. But He says, stand still, fear ye not. Why is it that two different people that are both saved can be faced with exact or close to the same thing? One could fall apart and the other can overcome. Well, it's because God gave them grace. Yes, God did give them grace. But we also have a responsibility to grow in that grace. And there's a responsibility on our part. Well, how do we do that? By the reading of God's Word, by the meditating, by looking back. Do you remember, I believe it was Jordan, and I could be wrong, but after the children of Israel got through, God told them to put those rocks there. Why? So when their children ask, they could say, God did this for us. And I think that we need to even do that with our kids, and not always hide the difficulties that we face in our life. That way, when God delivers us, we can say, hey, this is what God did. So, faith is something that we can grow in. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The confidence that Moses had. Now, Moses wasn't always a perfect person. We know that. But the confidence that Moses had here, every time you and I come across a situation in our life where we need to trust God, we can think of that passage of Scripture. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He may not always deliver us exactly the way that we think that He should, but He will be there for us in the best promises God will always give His people grace. He always will give us grace. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. Again, in our text, if you look at those two verses, one speaks of beware lest you go and decline, and the other one speaks of growing. What kind of a Christian do you and I want to be? Do we want to be a Christian that goes in decline, or do we want to be a Christian that is growing in graces? Notice this, I found interesting. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. The Apostle Paul says here the statement, and though I have all faith. So I believe by seeing this here, it teaches us that it is possible we may never have perfect faith, but certainly we can have a higher level of faith and lower levels of faith. And again, the Lord impressed upon me, considering growing in grace and a knowledge, that there are graces that we need to grow in. And I think faith, maybe no one else here needed this tonight, but I know the faith is a grace I need to continue to grow in and have confidence in God. I see also, second of all, boldness. As the days are getting darker and more wicked, we as children of God need to grow in being more bold for the Lord. I touched on this a little bit this morning. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. How bold are you? How bold am I when it comes to witnessing to others? I got to confess before you, as I did this morning, I could go to a stranger, and it's so much easier to go up to a stranger and talk to them about the Lord if the opportunity comes up versus someone maybe I have to rub shoulders with every day, because I'm going to see them the next day and the next day. That's difficult. But now is not the time to not be bold. You know, I've met people. I've met not just preachers and not just men, but I've met women who would stand their ground and be bold for the Lord, stand and deliver for the Lord, put it out there. The word bold means very confident in a way that may seem rude or foolish. Now, with this disclaimer and thinking about boldness, again, I always want to be bold as God gives me opportunity to preach and teach, but I never want to be rude. I think some people misunderstand and think the more rude they are, the better Christian they are. And I don't think that's right either. But I think there's discernment and there's a fine line. But at the same time, we should grow in the grace of being bold and being bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're honest, I think this is one thing we all, I think, across the board, it's easy inside these four walls to stand and deliver, but when we get out there, it's not always as easy. But guess what? God can give us the grace in that as well. We can ask God, give us opportunities to witness. Give us opportunities to be a blessing, to be used of you, and give me the boldness. I want you to notice Philippians chapter 1. You know, God will give us boldness. You know, prosperity won't breed boldness. Prosperity will make us more relaxed. But when people come in and you'll be surprised, and I say this by experience, and you probably have experienced this any time at all as you have been saved. But the amount of boldness when somebody begins to attack our faith, you'll be surprised how much boldness God will give us to stand and deliver for Him. He does. And we pray for that. And we ask God for boldness. Notice the example here in Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is there at the palace. He's being held. And and for preaching the gospel. And it was a dangerous thing to be doing that at that time. And notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many other brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Just go stand to reason. Take a man of this church that somebody, he witnessed to someone, and you found out your brother, one of your brothers here tonight, was put and was being persecuted. Maybe he wasn't even being put in jail, but he was being persecuted for standing for the Lord. He was being persecuted for standing for this church. Maybe he was being persecuted for standing for one of you that are here tonight. You know what that would cause among this group of people here tonight? Many of you, if not all, would begin to stand up and become bold in ways that we never thought were possible. Because that is a grace that we grow in. And we need to grow in that boldness and standing and proclaiming for the Lord. You think about the world. And as I was studying and preparing, we're never going to reverse the course this world is going in. God told us. He said it's going to get worse. For me to even pray, Lord, please make this world a better place. He's told us in His Word the world's going to get worse. Now, you think about it tonight. Who's getting more bold in their opinions today? Is it the Christians? I mean, there's things that and movements going on today that they're so blatant and they're so bold. And it's not just homosexuality. It's all the wickedness out there. They just flaunt it every which way that they can. So who's becoming more bold? The wicked are. And when they're becoming more bold, what's happening is normal people that once stood for such things are becoming so used to it. Then you have us fanatical Christians that, well, if we even say one little thing that that's a sin or that's wrong, I mean, I'll just get point blank. I've got family members that are involved in these things. And if I would say something, well, what would happen? It'd be a hole ripped in the family. And again, I don't think we have to be rude, but at the same time, we have to ask God for discernment and wisdom and be bold and stand for the Lord. And boldness is a grace that we can have, and it's a grace that we certainly need in these days and times that we live in. There's many scriptures in the book of Acts that speak of boldness. I'll just give you Acts chapter 2. We were there this morning in verse 12 through 14. There's a couple of others in that chapter as well. But really, you know, without even turning there, if you've been saved at all, know the Bible, think about the boldness of those. You know, we get on to Peter for denying the Lord. But what happened to Peter's boldness? Did Peter always stay that weak person? No, his boldness grew because he came on and he really began to be bold for the Lord. And we notice here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Well, okay, you say, Scott, why are you just pulling this out? We know it's the day of Pentecost. They were all speaking in tongues, and people began to make fun, and people began to say they were drunk with wine, and all these things. And they said, well, what meaneth this? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Okay? Somebody was talking about Peter's brother. Peter's brother. Did he just stand there? No. But Peter, standing up with the 11, don't miss that. The others stood up too. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And he goes on and he preaches, and he preaches boldly. If you skip down to verses 22 and 23, ye men of Israel, listen to this. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So we always remember that Peter denied the Lord three times because of he didn't want to suffer and he didn't want people to identify him with the Lord. Well, look where Peter is now. That's Peter, but you know what? That could be you and I too. If our desire is, Lord, help me to grow in faith. Lord, help me. You know, there's times that things get across our path in life, and just thinking about them, we can get very worked up. But we can say, Lord, help me to grow in faith. Help me to trust you more. I know that's a prayer of mine because I fall short in this. I fall short in all of these. But in boldness, the same is true. Lord, help me to become, Lord, not just rude, but help me to become more bold for you and take a stand for you. And ultimately, because of that boldness, hopefully people will know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and turn to faith and repentance in Him. Two more the Lord has placed that I'll share with you. This is probably the one that I preach on a lot. And it's probably the one that I take note of in people's lives a lot and that it blesses me a lot. And that's the grace of forgiveness. The grace of forgiveness. Sometimes, you know, I flick through and sometimes watch the documentaries of the crime shows where they'll go back through a crime in a small town somewhere in America. And they'll walk through the whole thing. And sometimes family members are murdered. And they'll interview those family members of the victim. And they're able to forgive. And I sit there and I say, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. Now I know by the grace of God I could do that. And I know that God has commanded me to do that. But how hard would that be? It's a grace. Just as faith is a grace, just as being bold for the Lord is a grace, so is being forgiving. And as I think of boldness and I think of a grace, again, I go back to these young people that, and it wasn't all the same day or the same week, but over a time we had a young girl in our church that was 16 or 17. Out of the blue on a Wednesday night, the Lord saved her. That was unexpected. Then we had two or three other kids, but to see them come before the church and the pastor basically question them and the boldness that these little people have, young kids have, well, where does that come from? It's a grace. Well, they're young. They can't have a grace. Yes, they can. I've seen young people sometimes that have more graces than me. And other people that's been saved for a while. Yes, they can. We can have better graces and be more advanced in these graces. And we're told to grow in grace and in knowledge. But getting back to forgiveness, I want us to consider Luke chapter 23. You know, we think of Jesus Christ and what he went through. And I think a lot of times, we just kind of lump it all together. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was killed. But do we ever look at the steps, at everything they did to him? And as I share these, and not all of them are in this gospel, but we'll read this portion. As I share these, I want to challenge you. I want you to think in your own life, which of these would you have the hardest time forgiving? I want you to consider that. Which of these, and just in your own mind, ask yourself the question, which of these would I have the hardest time forgiving? Some of you here, somebody could cut you off and you could forgive them. Some of us here, somebody could cut us off and it's a weakness of ours. We have a harder time with that. But notice what Jesus went through in Luke 23 and verse 34. And I look at people that live their whole life, and it seems like their whole life they live, they've been able to grin, they've been able to bear it, they've been able to be bold for the Lord, they always seem to have the faith. And I just sit back in amazement and say, I want to be like that person. That's the type of Christian I want to be like. And I fail, but that's the desire, I think, of all of our hearts. But Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, forgive them not, for they know not what they do. I want to give you a list, and you can research these. What would be the hardest one for you and I to forgive for someone to do to us? First of all, what if somebody falsely accused you? They falsely accused you of something. You know, that happens all the time. I mean, we even live in a country where our justice system isn't perfect. Sometimes innocent people get tried, and 20 years later, I heard of a story this week. Guy got a lot of money because he spent 20 years in prison that he didn't deserve. You know, and how do you get past that? And then there's times when other people should go to prison and they get off. But not to chase that rabbit. You know, we're human. We're going to fail. But false accusations, because they falsely accused the Lord. What was his response when people were throwing false accusations at him? He didn't answer them. He just was quiet. Let them have at it. Why? Because he knew God was going to avenge him. What about they mocked him? People ever mock you? Your family ever mock you for the Christian life that you strive to live? Friends ever mock you? Maybe they don't even mock you about your faith, but maybe they just mock you about, you know, and our pastor's been going on and teaching an excellent series of messages on secondary things and how secondary things of our life shouldn't separate us. Me and you may not agree on secondary things. It's been a fantastic study. But maybe it's secondary things or things that aren't really important, but we get mocked because we believe those things. What about them outright rejecting him and choosing a murderer to be released? I mean, that's blatant injustice. Know how we hate injustice. What if somebody treated you that unjustly? You had did nothing, and they chose that scoundrel over you to be released. Just their pure hatred and malice towards him. Have you ever had anyone just purely hate you and just look for ways to maliciously mistreat you? Probably all of us have. They stripped him. You know, today, nakedness is glorified. Jesus has never glorified it. But they stripped him. What about this? They spit upon him. You ever been spit upon? That's one of the most degrading things that could be done, is to be spit upon. How could you and I deal with something like that? They criticized him. When it talks about they reviled him, they criticized him in an abusive, in a hostile way. And the last one is probably the one that most of us, maybe some of us, would have more problems with. It's one thing when somebody just makes a false accusation. But what about when they plant that false accusation and then they just run with it? Oh, that gets under all of our blood. In all of this, what did Jesus say? He said, Father, forgive them. And I look at people, I don't know any, but that have endured such great things, such as maybe kids that have been murdered or family members that have been murdered, and they've been able to say, I forgive them. That is a grace. And we need to grow in grace. Last of all, I think of humility. What's the Word of God tell us over in the book of Philippians chapter 2? And I know these are what some would call a shotgun message. And when I come in and preach on maybe a fill-in, I try to be a blessing, and I hope I'm an encouragement. And I hope that when I deliver a message that I'm used of the Lord, and that somebody goes away, everybody goes away, and I got this or I got that. That's the point. But he says, Philippians 2, verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." I've been in this church today. It's been a blessing. I go to my church, and it's a blessing. And I'll tell you, one of the common denominators is sometimes you can walk into a church and you can pick up on the strife. You can pick up on this one's trying to have the power struggle, or this one's trying to have... And I don't sense that here. That's a blessed thing. At our church, we have a decent-sized church, and the Lord has blessed us for a long time with unity. We haven't had any brawls in business meetings, no dissensions. God has been good to us. How do we get to that point? Humility. I've been a member there for 20 years. There's a young man that just married one of our pastor's daughters that the Lord added to the church. He's been a member there for maybe close to a year, 8 months. You know, he's just as important as I am. I'm no more of a big deal than he. Well, your dad used to pastor. Yeah, he did. I'm still just a church member. Guess what? My dad pastored there for many years. He was just a church member. Pastor Titus is a church member. We are to be humble and esteem other better than ourselves. I fear that many times the world isn't what's going to shut our churches down. Our churches are going to shut ourselves down. We're going to destroy one another if we don't walk in forgiveness and walk in humility. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And in studying this and thinking about this, I couldn't help but, if you study in the New Testament, we have to be careful, because there is a thing called feigned humility or false humility. I've met those. And the Bible warns about those that will lower themselves and portray themselves as they're so humble to try to get people to look up to them for their own destruction. False teachers will do that. And I can recall people saying, just testifying to me of how humble they were. Well, if you're telling somebody how humble you are, you're not humble at all. And if you think I've got this humility thing all figured out, we're blind. We don't. So four graces, and we could look at many more scriptures, but four graces is that we need to grow in. And as I come up here, I could have mentioned 20, and you're sitting in your pew, and you could probably think of some. These are the ones the Lord placed upon my heart. Forgiveness is always something that we can grow in. Humility is something that we can always grow in. Faith and boldness are both things in these times in which we live that we can grow in. Pray that God will bless His Word. I truly thank you guys for your attention today, your hospitality, and pray your blessings on this church, and you guys keep our church and mine as well as we serve the Lord together until He comes back or takes us home. Brother Eaton, if you want to come. Know who's saved here tonight and who's lost. Some of the members here I know, and I know they're saved. They've been members here for a long time, but you may be here tonight. You may be young and you may be lost. You may be old and you may be lost. My plea to you is this. Consider your need for Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about becoming a church member. Church membership is down the road. Consider your need for Jesus Christ. You have to do something. As Pastor Titus would always say, you have to do something with Jesus Christ. And my prayer, even though I don't know you, my prayer is that the Lord would save your soul and give you peace. Brother Eaton.
169.